I'd like to welcome everyone to Dr. Lucille Burbank Radio. Frank McKay here, but much more importantly, our host each and every week, the author of The Inside Secrets of Sesame Street and two other wonderful books, soon to be the subject of a series of documentaries. Our show host each and every week is Dr. Lucille Burbank on Dr. Lucille Burbank Radio. Doc, how are you?
I am doing fine, and it's so good to be with you, Frank, once again.
Well, same here, right back at you. And one of the things that we were talking about right as we ran out of time, I was about to ask you about changes in cast members and crew members. And, you know, we know about Will Lee, you know, of course, passing, and they dealt with the death even on screen. They dealt with Mr. Hooper not being there, and we thought that was wonderful. But, you know, and there are people that are retiring, and you're breaking in new actors, younger actors, and younger folks, and cast members come and cast members go. Do you remember many of the situations where an actor or actress left to go on to greener pastures, or just made more money, or maybe a contract dispute? Can you address that?
Oh, definitely. One of the things I found in doing this study on Sesame Street and writing the book is that I interviewed Jeff Moss, who was the head writer and very good songwriter. He's famous for Rubber Ducky, that song.
Big song for them. That's a huge song for kids.
Yeah, he's very famous for that. And he said to me, we talked about this, their love for the show. And he said to me, you know, any day one of us could be in California doing Hollywood, doing a soap opera, making more money, a sitcom, making more money. But we all want to stay here because we love what we do. And that's part of the reason the love for what they do on Sesame Street is very, very significant to its success. So you have, for instance, even today, you have a cameraman on the show that was doing the segment on autism. That new segment by Sesame Street,
and yeah, which is wonderful, by the way, which is a wonderful way to address.
It is really a great, wonderful show. At any rate, you have that cameraman started on the first show in 1969, and he's there today in 2017.
Wow, that's just amazing. Loyalty on both ends, on the show's end and on his end.
Yeah. Then Emily Kingsley is another example. She was determined to, she watched this show in 1969. She'd worked in television in all capacities, except she didn't write. And she applied to work on Sesame Street. And they only had writing positions available. So she said, okay, I'm just going to have to learn to write. And she submitted some scripts and was hired as the junior writer for the show. And she is still writing scripts today. Wow. So you have that longevity, and you have that kind of people who have been there from the beginning so that they know the foundation, they know what's to be expected, they know the rules, they know how to blend through all their practice, how to blend entertainment with education so that it just works beautifully and unfolds, and the children are just, you know, jumping up and down with learning. But as Jane Henson pointed out, and I think this is very true, she said these people, they work on the show not to move on to something else. They work on this show because they respect children, They want to help children, but it's the mature work in itself to deal with children. It's not a means to an end. It's an end in itself. And so, for instance, there's never, all the scripts are very sophisticated with appropriate vocabulary for the children and pictorial pictures for the children. But they are never condescending. They look at the children as short people. Just like you and I would talk in a conversation, I will talk the same way with a child that's 2 or 3 or 4. Never that I'm above them, never in a condescending tone, but as an equal. And I think that is a very important thing to do. It really is. There's too many condescending people, but they're getting, with Sesame Street, they have seen how educators and Sesame Street deals with children as partners, and they just lower the vocabulary and pictures, but it can be anything. You know, as Bob Keeshan pointed out, and he's the precursor to the education you see on Sesame Street, I can tell any preschooler, any child, I can explain anything, the concepts of Einstein's relativity, how a bridge is made, what this does, and scientific discoveries. And he would do this all the time in a show, but he would just put it in the framework that they could understand. And he said, a child can understand anything that an adult can understand, of course, given, of course, different, you know, different subject matter. I mean, you're not going to talk to a preschooler about going on a date, you know, but given the totality of the environment and how it works and factual information, they can understand it, and they always did on Bob Keeshan's.
Yeah, fascinating. The whole subject is so fascinating to me, and I'm sure so many of the listeners. I'm sure there's a lot of listeners that'll be developing that are teachers or you know, certainly parents that deal with the ability or the job, the responsibility of educating their children. Again, Dr. Lucille Burbank Radio is discussing that each and every week. And we've talked about so many different things. The author of The Inside Secrets of Sesame Street and two other wonderful books and more to come. Let me ask you about that. There's so much that us as parents that we, and when I say we, it's not just you and me, but it's all of us that have children. There's so much that we have to teach the kids on our own. And many of us are limited with how we, what skills we have to do that. A show like Sesame Street, a show like Captain Kangaroo, and, you know, the late Bob Keeshan and the late Fred Rogers, they had the ability to do it. And we took advantage of that. We, meaning the television public, we took advantage in a positive way. And said, you know what, my children could watch garbage. You know, they could watch, you know, some silly cartoons or, again, not to rip Howdy Doody, but, I mean, you know, Howdy Doody was, you know, kind of trash TV for kids, right? It was just silly stuff. And the Peanut Gallery, it's not even taking the kids serious in that sense. Even the name, the Peanut Gallery, people joke about the Peanut Gallery now. Oh, God, here we go, comments from the Peanut Gallery. You know, it's almost like a cliched joke. You didn't have that with these other three shows. But how much of this, is really a godsend that we could sit our kids in front of a TV and not use it as a babysitter, but use it, meaning the television and the television program like Sesame Street and like some of the other, you know, great shows that have come along after Sesame Street. But how much of that do you think is a huge advantage that people 51 years ago or roughly, 50 something, 60 years ago just didn't have?
Yeah, it is. It's a wonderful advantage. I urge parents, and I do have something called a caveat for new parents. I urge them to be today, especially, very selective when it comes to television or use of any of the media. I really am, really, and I do this myself. I'm very selective what I watch on television. And I say to these new parents, look, if you go through the TV guide, or if you say to your child, okay, we're going to watch Sesame Street at this time, and we'll turn it on, and let's say the parent has time to watch. We always encourage parents to watch with their children, which is just ideal, no matter what age it is, because they know what they're really seeing. But also because the parents can discuss and explain to the children when they ask questions, which is a great give and take and a great bond that happens. At any rate, so then you say, okay, we're going to watch this. Sesame Street used to be on an hour. Right now it's on only a half an hour because they find it's a little bit too long because the audience is more sophisticated in the use of television and other media, and so it's impacting on the show. So they reduced it to a half an hour. And you say, okay, and then we'll turn it off. What happens with most households is they don't have that, let's put the TV on, you'll watch it for a half an hour or an hour, depending on the show that we've agreed on, and then you turn it off. There's a horrible use of television these days where it's just left on. And then the child, whether he or she is 3 or 4 or 5 or even 8 or 9, is impacted by all these commercials or things they shouldn't see on television. Studies have shown that even infants, Daniel Anderson, who began a lot of research along with Sesame Street and did a lot on understanding segments and understanding television.
Let me remind everyone, you're hearing the voice of Dr. Lucille Burbank on Dr. Lucille Burbank Radio. Frank McKay here. You were just talking about an individual here, another one of those unsung heroes. Continue if you would.
This is Daniel Anderson, Dr. Daniel Anderson, and during the time Dr. Palmer, who was the head of Sesame Street Research, was doing all the studies on Sesame Street. He was also trying to get other people involved. And he did involve Dr. Anderson. Wonderful study he did on showing that an appeal of a show to preschoolers, or to children in general, but specifically to preschoolers, is their understanding of the show. If they don't comprehend what's going on, like a new show if they watch, and this is very understandable, but still it had to be proved. If they don't understand what's happening in a show, then they'll turn it off, which of course anybody would. But he really showed that. But the other thing he showed, which is why I'm so adamant about parents not leaving the TV on, he recently did a study having a baby with her back or his back to the television set. And he put on, he had CNN going. And they were talking about the news and the fire and everything like that. So he did a number of studies with children, with infants about this. And he showed through his research that even though the baby's back is to the television, and you think the baby is tuned out and just not hearing the show at all, that isn't the case. In fact, having the TV on is and not shutting it off is really detrimental, because he showed that this infant or this baby, his sense of play was interrupted, his sense of concentration was interrupted, and that he was subconsciously assimilating what was on this adult program. So I cannot stress enough to turn the television off once you're finished with it. And I mean, I know I'm a voice in the distance, because so many people keep the television set on all day for company. And their children, whatever age, are then exposed to things and programs and characters and violence and so on that they shouldn't be exposed to.
Yeah, no, it's a very good point. People have said that for years, but you certainly wouldn't say that without backed up research and
right.
And people.
Right. And that was his latest. It was reported in a wonderful book. I'll remember her name. But this woman really did her research, too. And so, you know, she said it's just detrimental. Also, the woman in the book, and I just have to look it up, and I don't probably have time to look it up now, but I will have that for you, because it's also, she's such a great person. In reading the book, she also talked about knowing what your children are watching, whatever age, and knowing their sensitivities, because one child is different from another when they're watching a program, and one sibling that isn't affected by something will, the other sibling would be. And how do they behave after they watch a certain program? All in all, just limit, and I can't stress this enough, not only television, limit the time your children are exposed to the media, the time they spend on the iPhone, time they text. These technologies these days are geared, especially with Facebook and some of the other ones, they're geared towards, with the iPhone, you know, getting your notifications and do you have a following? They're geared to be addictive. I can remember Oprah doing one study where this family wanted to go without using media for a whole week. And because they were worried about their son was so addictive to video games, very much so.
Yeah.
So much so that Oprah said when they removed the technology and he couldn't play any video games, he practically wailed.
Wow. How old was the son?
Oh, he was maybe about 6, 7.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, see, that was... You know, that's the age that you know, you could maybe make an impact. Let me just remind everyone, we've got about 2 minutes left in this edition of Dr. Lucille Burbank Radio. Frank McKay here with the author of The Inside Secrets of Sesame Street and two other wonderful books. Let's talk about where people can get the books. If you can give a quick rundown of where they can go and where's the best place to go.
Sure. The best place to go would be Barnes & Noble, and all they have to do is give the name of the book, Inside Secrets of Sesame Street, by the author, and they will deliver it to you. Also, Book Locker, BookLocker.com. is the book's publishing, online publishing company, and they're excellent. And you can just go to Book Locker and put in the name of the book and so forth. And there at Book Locker, if you choose to go there, there are excerpts from the books, and you can read them and see if this book is right for you. before you purchase it. And I think that's always a good idea. We always like to be generous and give them an idea what the book will talk about. And in the pictorial version inside Secrets of Sesame Street, you can see what the pictures will look like, what they're composed of in this book, which I'm very pleased with the pictorial version. So those are the two main ones. Amazon, you know, a lot of people go, and yes, you can get it on Amazon, but they haven't been as consistently sending out the books, and people have had complaints. So that's why I'm not mentioning Amazon right away.
Barnes & Noble is the best way. There. Yeah, that sounds great. Well, listen, great job. Congratulations on all the success, and great job on the radio. This is program number 6. And thrilled to be your co-pilot. And for those who are wondering whether they're going to like the book, you're going to like the book. I'm biased. She's very humble. But Dr. Lucille Burbank is the author of 3 wonderful books. But get The Inside Secrets of Sesame Street. You can't do anything but learn and get unbelievable information from it. Buy the book. And just absolutely wonderful work by this lady, a well-spent life, and it's still going so strong. Wonderful career, and thrilled to once again be her co-pilot here. Thank you very much.
It's my pleasure, Frank, to work with you.
Well, it's the same here, and it's our pleasure each and every week to work with all of you. And we encourage everyone to binge listen to what we're doing, and the shows are evergreen. You don't have to necessarily listen in any particular order. Just listen to them all. The wonderful work by Dr. Lucille Burbank. And you've been listening to the Dr. Lucille Burbank radio show. We'll talk to you real soon. See you next week on Dr. Lucille Burbank Radio.